certainly thank all of you for your participation in the song service. It is a real rush, as Mr. King said last night. It's a real privilege to be able to be here and just be part of the unison that we come to God in song with. All right, another longtime friend and elder could tell a lot of stories, but I won't, because he could tell a few on me too. But anyway, he's serving in the Lewiston area, and he's just been a faithful servant of God for so many years. So to bring us the sermonette here this afternoon, Mr. Joe Hasnerl.
Thank you, Mr. White. Good afternoon, brethren. And good afternoon to those that are on Cybercast. And I want to give a special hello to Paul and Janet DeZing, if you're listening in. I know that you were last year. What a blessing it is to be here. You know, the way the world is and everything, it is truly nice to be here. God tells us through Peter that we, you and I, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful blessing, and at the same time, a very big job responsibility when we think of it in the context of Matthew 24:14 and Ezekiel 33 as the watchman's now to warn the people of the things that are about to happen in this world. During the millennium, as we saw in the song, many people will say, "Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." You know, knowing that we are God's special chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's own special people, and that we are here to learn. I'm encouraging all of us during these 8 days, and including last night, to really focus in on each message, focus in on each prayer that is given, focus in on the songs that we will be singing and noticing what the words are and incorporate those into our thinking. That we capture what God is telling us, meditate over it, make it part of our vision, and hold on to it with God's help, with all of our might. Today is the first day of the feast, which represents the beginning of 1,000 years of peace and prosperity. In our mind's eye, let's take a moment and visualize that. A world of peace and prosperity. You know what I see is no more wars, no more starvation, no more drugs, no more political campaigns, no more lies, no more bailouts, no more unhappy children. What I can see is a people walking about that are happy, full of enthusiasm. The streets of our cities are beautiful, a place where our children can play in happiness, and where contentment will abound. I visualize a world without hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, droughts, floods, disease, and plagues of all sorts. You know, all of these things I have just mentioned are only a foretaste of what we are going to hear during this feast. So we need to prepare every day to tune in to what God has in store and to say to us about our futures and the future of the people of the world tomorrow. We need to capture the vision of what God has in store for us and to hold on to it no matter what we go through. And talking to a few of you people last night, before you got here at the feast, you went through some severe trials. And what we're going to hear this week can help us to go through those things. So hold on to it, no matter what we go through, no matter what trial we face. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, and let's read about our forefathers in the faith who captured the vision of the world tomorrow, and they held on to it until they died. And as we read through, we see that a lot of those people had horrific trials. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. They captured what God revealed to them, and they held on to it. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Drop down to verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's drop down to verse 32. And as I read through the following scriptures, picture yourself as these many individuals as they went through the trials and the things they faced, and that they captured what God revealed to them and held on to it until they died. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, and being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. But you know, they captured the vision of what God revealed to them, and they held on to it, and they went through each and every one of the trials. And we will see them not too long in the distant future. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Paul says in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, therefore, because of what all of these people went through and the example that they set for us, therefore we, you and I, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight, every problem that we may have, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this week, let's ask God for help to focus on the spiritual meaning of this feast, to capture the vision of what it means, and the strength to hold on to it with all of our might. You know, we are, as it was mentioned last night a couple times, and we realize too, looking at the world, we are living in a very serious times. And we need to be very serious in making sure our lives are right before God. And we do whatever it takes to capture the vision this week, of what God has in store for you and I, and to hold on to it with everything that we've got, and again, with God's help. In Revelation 3, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have." So hold on to what we will be hearing this week, and again, through the prayers, through the songs, every aspect of this feast, and make it part of us, so that no matter what the trial we may face in the future, no one may take our crown.